Well, again, appreciate so much being able to speak to you. As Frank said, I grew up in Canada. I'm a Canadian citizen, lived in the United States since my college days. I came to the United States to play college football. I was a hockey player who wanted to play college football. And so I wrote a lot of universities in the United States to see if I could play. I played high school football in Canada, but I had the opportunity to go to Western Kentucky University. So that's where I went. And I grew up really in the Anglican Church, which is like the Church of England. Episcopalian church, and on weekends, a lot of times, high school kids would come in, and the players would take the high school kids and show them around for the weekend. So this one weekend, I got this boy from Kokomo, Indiana, and his coach came with him, and his coach was an elder in the church, but I didn't know anything about the elders then. And that Friday night, we went out to eat, and the coach's daughter and her two roommates came. They had just come from Florida College to go to Western Kentucky University. And these girls asked me, they said, would you like to come to church with us on Sunday? And they were so good looking, I would have gone anywhere with them. And they went to the 12th Street Church of Christ, and that was the first time I ever went to a Church of Christ. It was the weirdest place I've ever been in my life. There was no organs, there was no choirs, there was no... I was telling my mother one time, I said, Ma, I go to this church now, it's called the 12th Street Church of Christ. She said, well, what's it like? My mother was from England, and so she's used to the Church of England, and she said, what's it like? I said, there's no choirs, Ma. There's no organs. Everybody sings. She said, do you sing? I said, yeah, I sing. She said, you don't sing loud, do you? Don't be messing the songs up. And that was my introduction. And so I finally went. That was about January time. In April time, came time for the invitation song. And it was time for me to walk down the aisle. There was 450 people in the congregation. And I'm sitting near the back. And so the song started. It was 596, or in the old books, or 495, God is calling the prodigal son. I didn't know what a prodigal son was, but I was. And so the song started. How everybody always says, don't worry about the invitation. Don't be nervous. Just step down in the aisle. It's easy. Just walk down front. So here it came. It's my time. There's me, and there's girl next to me and her husband. She was 10 months expecting. She was so big she couldn't even move. So it's like this. I'm like this. And they said, okay, now 5 nights. And I said, I'm coming. This is my song. I couldn't get by her. She's too big. And so I said, I'm going to wait till the next. I'll wait till next time. I said, no, go, nope. And then the other side saying, go, Paul, you need to go. So I put my song out. I put my hand out to try to get by. She thought I wanted a songbook. So she moved about an inch. So finally I had to put my hand on her stomach and kind of go. And then she went, oh, he's going. Yeah, if you let me get down the aisle. And then so she kind of moves like this. She's like this. And then her husband, Dumb Leonard, he still doesn't know what I'm doing. And she goes, get out of the way. Why? Get out of the way. You have to go to the bathroom? No, just get out of the way. Why? And now we're like in the second verse, and I'm just going, I ain't going. Finally, Dumb Leonard gets out of the way, and I walk down the aisle. It was the longest aisle I'd ever walked in my life. And I got to the front. It's like the best way to explain this, sometimes when I tell my friends about, becoming a Christian, it's like, when you play football and you're going for a touchdown, there's thousands of people screaming, you really don't hear anybody. You don't hear anybody. And you're running. And you're getting close to the end zone. And there's thousands screaming. And when you watch the replay, it's good because you see you're looking pretty good running. But when you're running, you don't know anything. And when I get to the end zone, all of a sudden you hear everybody. And I walked down the aisle and I got to front. I didn't hear anybody. I couldn't hear the singing. I was so nervous. And in fact, I really didn't have, I gave my confession. But when I was racing waters of baptism, then I could hear everybody. I know I couldn't hear him in a physical way, but I heard the angels in my heart. And my friends came up and hugged me, and people cried that I didn't even know. I never had anyone cry for me in the first place. These people are crying and they're hugging me. And ever since that time, that was my introduction to becoming a Christian. And ever since that time, I've seen it repeated in other people, and I try to tell other people the same thing. I preach now out west. I preached 9 years in Salt Lake City, Nevada. I mean, Salt Lake City, Utah. Now I preach in Reno, Nevada. And my high school class, I have high school, college kind of combined. We have 3 high school kids. In Utah, we had 2 or 3. There's very few places. You guys would be the biggest church in the whole state of Utah. You'd be second or third in our state of Nevada. We have about 140 in Reno. Las Vegas has about 140 people too in one of their congregations. But there's hardly any young people. You know some of those songs you sang? We don't sing those songs. You know why? We don't have enough people that have the parts. One time when I was preaching in Salt Lake City, we decided we're going to go to all these people are visiting us from all different places, from Montana, from Idaho, from North Dakota, and they'd come through and visit with us. So we decided we'd all get together in Pocatello, Idaho, about 2 hours away. We rented a Holiday Inn so everybody could come and, you know, from other places and meet. And different people would, and we all met, and people would get up and say, "We're the Jones family. This is my wife and 2 kids, and we meet in our basement in Idaho." Someone else came and said, "We're the Smith family, and I preach, and we have 8 people in our church in North Dakota." And then this one man gets up and he said, "And I'm Brother Jones," and he's about 70 years old, he said, "and I've met in my basement, I've met in my garage, and I've met by myself." And he said, "But I'm just glad to be here. This is the most Christians I've ever been around. There's about, you know, 50 of us." He said, "I like to sing this song." He said, "It's my favorite song, but I've never sung it before." He said, "Because I never had enough people." And you'll see why. So we start singing his favorite song. We get to the chorus. "Ring out, merrily ring the news." He never had enough people. So we got to the second verse. He just closed his book and was going like this. 7-year-old Christian. We got to the third verse. His hands are going up and down, but now tears are going down his cheek. He got to lead his favorite song. And then when the song was over, he kept going like this. As he sat down, he's going like this. He got to lead his favorite song. So sometimes, you know, when you're with people, this, you guys are so used to this. I want you to know there's lots of boys and girls, young boys and girls, and couples. They just don't have. I've preached in the weirdest places. I preached in the fire hall in Montana. 4 people, me, 2 fire trucks, fire alarm went off. Guy slid down the, you know, I thought someone was, you know, usually you say, "Come forward." This guy slid down the banister. I thought, you know, "That's it. Come on up here. I don't care." Fireman getting in the truck. Preached, like I said, in Gross. Probably my favorite place I've ever preached. I preached in a karate building once. With glass, you know, all around it. I got to watch myself preach. And Jesus says, you know, and there I was there. Only thing was, no one watched me. They all watched themselves. They're all fixing their hair and their ties. And so that was a strange place. But when you have a chance like this, all of you people that come to a place like this, it's truly a blessing. You know, there's a lot of events in history that have changed the course of history that have happened. But today, for a few moments, I want to talk about David and Goliath, because I think that's truly a story and an event that changed the course of history. It showed every young person what you can do for God if you have a goal and you have faith and you have God's power. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter your experience. You can be faithful. But you got to know what's right. You have to want to go to heaven. And you've got to have God working in your life. And it takes courage. You have to have courage. Young people say, "Life isn't fair." You know what? Life, 40 times a day, young people say, "Life isn't fair." It isn't fair. Let me see your driver's license. You don't have one? Oh, life's not fair, is it? Hey, get a credit card? Let me see your credit card. No credit card. Life's not fair. You don't get a driver's license when you're young. So y'all not get one until you're about 21, but that's a whole nother lesson. 21. You don't get a driver's license. You don't get a credit card. You know when you go to NASA, you go to the roller coasters. Remember when you're little, you have to be this tall to get in? I remember many times I put like big shoes on because I was like this little, you know? I couldn't get in. I'd be going like this. Life isn't fair. It isn't fair. But you know what God says? I don't care if you're 10 years old. You can still be faithful. I don't care if you're 20 years old. I don't care if you're 3 feet, 6 feet. I don't care if you're 50 pounds, if you're 200 pounds. You can serve the Lord. But what you have to have is fight. You have to have some courage. You have to have courage in you. I like to go jogging. Frank used to run. Did you know that when he was in college? Frank was a runner. I know it's hard to believe, but he was. No. Frank was a runner. I go jogging. And whenever you go jogging, the first thing I always ask people, are there any dogs in the street? I don't want no dogs biting me. And you know, but I tell you what, when you jog, you don't have to worry about big German shepherds. German shepherds and pit bulls, they're kind of smart. When you're running, the dogs kind of look at you and say, well, the guy's got stones. He's got a stick. There's three of them. The big dogs figure you out. They don't attack you. It's the dogs you can't see. I'm running. I hear, I can't see it. It's someplace. They hide behind the grass. They hide behind little trees. I hear them. They're coming. Next thing you know, they grab your ankles. And you can kick field goals with them. It doesn't make any difference. You kick them, they come back. They keep, get out, they keep coming back. And that's because there's an old saying, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. And God says to all young people, you have to have some fight. And get that fight, now serve me, do what's right. How many here like to lose? Because if you do, I'm going to play against you, because I like to win. I like to win. Every time I play a card game, it's for the championship of the world. It is. You want to just do something little? With my kids, if I win, I'm the champ. We are the champions. They say they don't like playing with me anymore. I don't. Remember when you're little, you played the. Remember Candyland? World champion. I am the world champion, Candyland. And then y'all play Phase 10. You know what game that is? Don't play me, world champion. I like to win. And that's good when you're young. And now you learn sometimes, you know, you can't win everything. But you ought to like to win. And you ought to try to win. And that's what the story of David and Goliath says. It says that when God's on your side, you can win and you will win. Look for a few moments in 1 Samuel now, real quick. 1 Samuel 17. That's page 417 in your Bible. 1 Samuel 17. Here's about Goliath. Now in verse 4, there's a champion came out of the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs, a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield carrier walked before him. Goliath was somewhere between 8.5 and 9.5 feet tall. His breastplate, the protector on his front, 170 pounds. His spear was close to 20 pounds. And in verse 8 through 12, he makes a challenge. He says to the Israelites, you choose someone to represent you, and I'll fight him. And if he wins, we'll be your servants. And if he loses, you be our servants. Now, that seems like a fair thing. But look how God's people reacted. As you read on in verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. What does David say? I'll go fight the Philistine. And of course, he's tried to talk out of it sometimes by some of his people there, but he goes on, he chooses 5 stones. Have you ever wondered why he chose 5 stones? Well, why didn't he just get one? Because really, when he shoots that, who's really shooting it for him? Who's really helping him throw that sling? God. Is God not a very good shot? Yeah, God said, get one, get four, get five, just in case I missed the first one. Does anyone know why? We're not told, but I have a little belief why he put 4 more. What do you think? Anyone know? Do you know how many brothers Goliath had? How many do you think he had? He had 4 brothers. So after he killed Goliath, what do you think was probably going to happen? Maybe David even said, how come I need 4? Just get 4 extra. You're going to see in a little while. After he killed Goliath, maybe his four brothers were going to come get him. I don't know, and we're not told. But he got five rocks, or five stones, hits him in the temple, cuts off his head. Now, why was David victorious? First of all, he had courage. Courage doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means you'll walk across the face of fear. One time when I was living in Tampa, Florida, we had a rat as big as a cat in our house. It was a water rat. They can even talk to you. They're so mean and they're big. So some said, I got it out of the house. And some said, were you afraid? Man. They said, or I tell the story. Some said, oh man, you're courageous. You got a rat out of your house. I was scared to death. I got the biggest hockey stick I had. I saw it. It ran and was behind the stereo. So I got my hockey stick, because I'm courageous. And I start poking it. I hit it, and I opened the back door first. It ran right across the front back door, started climbing the curtains. Being the courageous guy I am, I got my hockey stick as far away as I could and started hitting it. Hitting it. Get out of here! And the rat goes, row, row. I said, you know, I'm scared to death. I got my hockey stick though. I hit it. It fell down and it ran across the door. And I got my hockey stick and I just did a good shot. And I shot the rat. I closed the door and I tell you how courageous I was. I didn't even sleep in my house that night. There's one rat, there's probably two rats. And I went, this was midnight. So I didn't stay in my house anymore that night. The next day I came back, got to my house. Courage doesn't mean you're afraid. It means, yes, you're afraid, but you walk across the door. You walk across the face of fear. One time when I was little, living up in Canada, we had this big old furnace in our house, an oil furnace. It made all kind of noises at nighttime. And when you're little, there were monster noises. And I never went downstairs at night because every monster lived down there. So then I got older and I had my kids. One time, my furnace made some noises at night. The first thing I said was, there's monsters down there. I knew there wasn't monsters, but there could have been. But I had to go down there. Was I afraid? Yep, could have been a crazy guy down there. Could have been a monster. I don't know. I had to go downstairs. But I went downstairs because you know what? My kids needed protection. And that's what courage does. God says, I need some help, young people. I know it's scary, but if you'll just do it, it'll work out. And today, we all have spiritual giants. We all have spiritual giants we have to face. They're different, though, than David. We don't have to fight a tall, slow giant. We have to fight, who are we going to have as friends? That's a giant decision. Who are you going to have for friends? It's hard to, you know, we know what it says. A lot of times we've been talking today about don't do this and don't do that. And that's right. But now you have to do what's right. Choosing friends. So many young people, you miss out on good friends because you only look on the outside. Now, I know the way the Lord made us. He made us to be attracted on the outside at first. Nobody says this. Hey, that's the ugliest girl in the world. I wonder what her name is. Is that what you do? Look at that skinny, scrawny guy. I wonder what his name is. No one does that. It's like, hey, what's her name? I don't know. You're attracted. Hey, who's that guy? Some of y'all now, I've been watching. You've been looking at each other. I saw a couple of y'all peeking. Some of the guys in the front are going, see the girl back there in the room? Who's that? I don't know. That's the way the Lord made us. But a lot of times, you still miss out on a lot of good people. Because you only look on the outside. And I'm so thankful the Lord looks on the inside out. He looks on our hearts. When I was in high school, one of the girls, and her name was Danette, she was the prettiest girl in our school. Every time there was a beauty contest, she always won. All the guys tried to ask her out. All the girls wanted her in her club. Well, in the 11th year, she got a terrible skin disease. And she went from the prettiest girl in the school to the homeliest. Her skin was broken out in scabs. I don't know what she had wrong with her. But all during her junior year, and she had bad posture. And she'd come down the hall and you'd hear a girl say stuff like, "Oh, here comes the beauty queen." And the guy said, "Here comes it. Here comes my girl." They'd all make fun of her. This little chubby fat guy used to carry her books because she couldn't carry them on her own. And he'd walk by and he'd say, "Why don't you guys leave her alone?" Well, she kept going to the doctors and getting treatment. Her senior year, she went back to being the prettiest girl in the school. All the guys wanted to take her out now. All the girls wanted to be in her, have her in her club. She got married a couple years after high school. Who do you think she married? The little fat guy. He didn't even play football. He wasn't very good looking. Why in the world did she marry him? Because where did she look? On the inside. And that's the giant you're going to have. If you just pick good-looking friends, you're going to have a lot of bad times. Not that all good-looking people aren't nice. But a lot of times, if that's all you go, you're going to miss out on a lot of friends. So have all kinds of friends. Choose them from the inside. And then there's the problem of pornography. That's a giant. That's a giant. When you go on your computers, there's all kind of things you can see. Movies today. It's hard to go to a good movie today. The sad thing is most of your parents don't even know the movies you go to. They give you money. I get on the parents all the time. They let you go to movies that aren't fit to watch. Someone talked about walking. I think it was Adam said about us. Adam, was it you? You said about your sister taking you out of that movie? Yeah. Well, I went to a movie one time. A Christian guy said to me, "Go to this movie." I had a date. "Go to this movie," he said. I said, "Is there any nudity? Is there any cussing?" He said, "Oh, no naked people, no cussing." The first scene was a shower scene. Naked people running everywhere. I said, "What?" So I said, "Come on, we're going out." So we went out. I said to the guy, "I want my money back." He goes, "Why?" I said, "Because there's naked guys running around in the movie, and I ain't paying to watch naked guys." He said, "Well, no one's ever asked for their money back." I said, "Well, this is the first. I want my money back." He said, "Well, I'm going to have to go ask the manager." I said, "Go ask the manager." Well, not that I'm a great guy, but I got my money back. And so you got to be careful. It's a joke. Everybody sees the movie. I tell you what, I'm tired of seeing The Little Mermaid. I've watched all those movies. But most movies aren't very good to see anymore. And music. Most of the music, I don't know what in the world the rappers are saying. The rappers are mad at the whole world. And I want to know what's going on with their hands. Now, when I played football, that's how you did exercises. These guys are going here, and please, don't be putting your hat backwards or sideways unless you're playing baseball. I don't understand. Now, you say, "Well, Paul, you're old-fashioned." No, it's dumb looking. That's the first thing. I don't know what they're saying. Now, I know some of the songs, even today when I listen to some of the oldie songs, and my kids would say to me, they'll say, "Daddy, that's not a good song." And you know what? They're right. I didn't even know what the song said. And you can hear them pretty good. Today, I haven't got a clue what the rappers are saying, other than they hate the world and they hate you and that you're a sucker for buying their music. So I'm not giving them any money. But it's hard. It's hard not to listen to the same music everybody else does. And it's hard not to do that. That's a giant. And that's why you choose a good friend that'll help you listen to good songs. Philippians 4:8 says, "Think about things that are lovely, that are pure." I remember David Tant once said this. I think it's a great statement. The songs you listen to, if you can repeat those words in your Bible class, then you listen to that song. That's hard. So some people say, "Okay, Paul, then what kind of music do you listen to?" Jazz. It's got no words. That's what I listen to. I listen to jazz music. And then you have all kinds of problems. But those are giants. And you've got to face them. You've got to face them today. That's different than what David. David had to face a physical one. But still, David defeated Goliath. Because he had faith, he had courage, and he had God's power. And today, you can do the same thing David did. But here's what you learn from David's story. Don't listen to people tell you you can't do something. Don't listen to your critics. Oh, you can't become a Christian. You'll never stop drinking. You'll never stop doing that. This, I tell you what, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. You can be faithful. It takes a lot of hard work. When I first came down from Canada to the United States to play college football, all the people in Canada said, oh, you'll never play. You'll never make it. Not that I was that good. So my first college practice, I had to go to do this drill where you hit it. You have these three dummies like this. And you guys who play football, you get it, and you pick a dummy, and you put a move on the guy, and you try to get past him. I got past this guy. He was a Vietnam veteran. He looked older than my dad. And he was mad that I beat him. So I said, and he's going, coach said, go again! His name was Iacovino. Now, that sounds like a friendly name, doesn't it? Iacovino, go again! I went, oh no, he's mad at me now. So here I go. I said, I'm not going to make him mad this time. I'm just going to run right at him and let him tackle me, and he'll be my friend forever, you know? I got this. He hit me so hard, my eyebrows hurt. I saw stars just like in the cartoons. You know how you see cartoons? I said, if they hit this hard in the United States, I can't play. I'm not proud. I'll admit it. I can't play. So I went back in the line, and I went again. Got hit. Got a little better. Got a little better. So finally, when the fall practice, there was 32 wide receivers. I was, guess what number? I was 33. I was that far behind. But by the time the first game came, I was number 5. I got the dress. That's all I wanted to do. Just give me a uniform. I can tell my friends in Canada who said I couldn't do it. So the first game, I'm sitting on the bench. We're the third team receiver, so you don't get into like the fourth quarter, 2 minutes left, you know? We're winning 21-0 in the first quarter. So the coach says, okay, third teamers, get ready to go. All we've been doing is drinking Cokes, looking at our friends in the stands and saying, trying to find girls and tell them that's me. Remember me after the game, you know, up there. 87. I go out to the first play of the game. Me and my friend were so excited. We said, okay, there's a fumble. We got it. Give me the third team. We all run out there, you know. First time ever, my legs are like, just like this. I run out. I get in the huddle. I look across the huddle. My buddy forgot his helmet. We're not like this. He's so nervous he forgets his helmet. So finally, near the end of the game, they call this pass play. And as a freshman quarterback, so that means, anytime a freshman quarterback plays, that means you're going long. I went long. He threw me the ball. It's coming to me. And all I can say is, I'm not getting a touchdown in my first game. All those guys said I couldn't play. But what if I drop it? They'll be right. Here it comes. It's like, remember the Titans. It's slow motion. Here comes the ball, and the out of bounds is right here. I'm getting close. Here it comes. I catch it, but I'm right near the out of bounds. I look at the referee. He looks at me. It's like, come on, just put your hands up. He put his hands up. And the people, when we watched after the game, they said, Sheehan was so happy, he gave 5 to the referee. First time ever. I've given 5 to everybody. The grounds crew. After the game, everybody has their family there. I didn't have any family watching me play, and everybody said, I remember I didn't even take a shower. I put on my sweats. I ran back to the dorm. I called everybody who said I couldn't play. I said, this is Paul. I scored a touchdown. I'll talk to you later. You said I couldn't play. I played. I'm going to send you the clipping. I should have been more humble, but all these people said I couldn't do it. And you know what they said to David in 1 Samuel 17:22-26? David said, I'll fight him. And what they say? You can't fight him. You're just a little guy. He said, I'll fight him. I'll go and do it. He didn't listen to his critics. You know why? David said, look, the Lord helped me kill a bear. He helped me kill a lion. He'll help me kill a slow giant. And he did. He didn't listen to his critics. And today I want you to know those people. They're going to tell you, what? You can't be baptized. You can't do it. You can't lead a song. You can't lead a prayer. You can't do those things. And you know what? You may not be very good at first. When you get up to lead a song, you may not. But you'll get better. You'll get better. That's what experience. That's why David had experience. I'm not afraid to jump. I know the Lord will help me. How many here have ever snow skied before? Nobody? Oh, something. Well, I go snow skiing a lot. First time I ever went snow skiing. 3 of us were going skiing. instructors in front. He said, y'all know what snow plow is? Snow plow, or make, they call it pizza for the little kids. You put your skis like this. And you go real slow. So the first guy goes, the instructor's right there. First guy goes, he falls over at about 4 feet. Second guy goes, 2 feet. He falls over. Now it's my turn. I got to at least go 4 feet. I'll be the champion, you see. I start going past the first body. Past the second body. I'm the champion. I'm so happy, my skis opened up. And now I'm going down the hill. I'm going, and all, I've never skied. All I just watch on television, so I'm looking good. I got my poles back. I got my head. I'm looking good. People are going up the lift saying, look at that guy showing off. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just going, as you get down the hill, there's buildings. And as I'm getting near the building, they're getting bigger. And I'm getting scared. And you got to try to, you ever try to figure out how to fall and not get hurt? You're going, no, that hurts. No, that hurts. No way. And you just kind of go like this, and you're getting a ball. That was my first time ever going down a hill. But now, even my kids say now, you know, Daddy never falls down. I got better. That's the same as when you can't lead a song. Get up there. You can't preach. First time I ever preached, you know who? I give a 15-minute talk. You know who I preached with? Me and another guy. You know what his name was? Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown opened up for me. You know, if anything, Charlie Brown preached, and then, you know, I preached. And, of course, I think some of the things I did, but Matthew 19:26 says, all things are possible. And David said, I can do it. Oh, but you're just a little guy. I can still do it. Because God helps all of us, even those, of course, that are young. I'll tell you what else Goliath didn't do, or did. He did listen to his brothers and sisters. And in 1 Samuel 17:38, Saul clothed David with his garments, and he put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor, and he tried to walk, for he hadn't tested them. And David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I'm not tested. And David took them off, and then he took some stones and so forth. But Saul said, okay, I'll help you. So Saul puts on his armor, and it's like a little kid putting on giant football pads. You know, your helmet falls down. You can see David. He couldn't see. He couldn't walk. But they tried to encourage him. And today, I tell you what, are there some strange people in the church? There's a whole bunch of strange people in the church. And some of you guys are probably strange. People think I'm strange because I wear clogs. That's okay. But there's a lot more good people. There's a lot more people trying to do right. Listen to them. They encourage you. Your brothers and sisters will say, you can be baptized. I know you can. You're ready to get baptized. You can lead a song. You know, the world makes fun of us when we try to do right. But your brothers and sisters don't. You need to listen to your friends. Well, I like to go on road races, so... Oh, many years ago before. Nowadays, they got long shorts. You can buy shorts that touch the ground now, I think. And even when you're not even pull them up, but you need to pull your pants up, too. That's a whole other lesson. But So I got some shorts made for me. They went to my knees. And it's in Tampa, Florida. It's a 15K race, which is 9.3 miles. I got my shorts on. Everybody else has got some shorts on. I'm talking shorts. You know, like running shorts. And we're at the starting line. And all these guys with their Nikes and their, you know, Reebok shorts and all that. And some guy said, hey, buddy, what do you got on? These three guys said, hey, buddy, what do you got on? I said, got my shorts. He said, hey, man, where'd you get those shorts? I said, I made them. And then I said, I'm going to beat you. I shouldn't have said that. So the race takes off. There they go. These guys in these beautiful shorts, they take off. And there's me in my long shorts. We got to the halfway mark. I could see these guys ahead of me. And I just said, oh, Lord, I like to win, remember? Oh, Lord, let me catch them, please. I just, you know. Now, the Lord didn't cause a hurricane wind to come behind me. And he didn't give me any extra Gatorade. But I got about the 7-mile mark. I got behind them. And they were sucking wind bad. I was too, but they were sucking it worse. And as I got close to them, I said, how you doing, guys? They said, hi. I said, it's me in the funny shorts. I said, you can look at them for the last 2 miles. And I passed them. And I beat them. And they made fun of me. But you know what happened when I got to the finish line? My kids and the people for church were there. And probably other people were going, what's that guy got on? You know, what in the world? And most guys had little shorts on and no shirt on. Here comes a guy, looks like he's from Alaska or something. Who knows? In Florida. You know, excuse me, I had a shirt on and my shorts. And as I got to finish line, that's my daddy right there. And the people said, that's my preacher. That's my preacher. If they had a preacher category, I would have won. I told them, next time I have a preacher category, I'll win it. And, but they're cheering for me. Because that's what brothers and sisters do. The world makes fun of us. But Christians don't. And David, how was he victorious? He had some brothers and sisters, we would say. He had godly people that said, you can do it. And of course, David had another way David won. He fought, he stood up. He did what was right and he fought the way he could. He couldn't wear that armor. All David could do was get a slingshot. That's all he could do. And it said he ran. He ran to him. And that's what we need to do. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed. David wasn't. He wasn't afraid. You can serve God. If you can't preach a lesson, then comment in class. If you can't lead a song, sing in the auditorium. If you can't invite a friend, say hi to a visitor. If you can't lead a prayer, then you pray by yourself. Do what you can. This boy came one time, this little boy said to Lumberjack, said, I wish I was as big as you, Mr. Lumberjack. Lumberjack said, why is that, little boy? Well, if I was as big as you, Mr. Lumberjack, I'd go in the woods, I'd find me the biggest bear, and I'd wrestle it. And the lumberjack said, well, you know what, little boy? There's some baby bears in the woods. And a lot of time young people say, one day I'm going to preach a sermon. One day I'm going to lead song services. One day I'm going to teach a class. I tell you what, just lead one song. Just make one comment. Do something right now. David didn't say, I'm going to wait till I'm 20 or 30 years old, and then I'm going to serve God. No, he said, I'm going to do it now. God expects you to. There's a story about this young girl. Around 17 years of age, her name was Blandina. In the first century, there's a plaque. Historical story. There's a plaque for her in the Colosseum that you can go see now in the Bible lands. There was a law put out during that time that if you didn't denounce the Lord, you'd be killed. So they brought all these Christians into the Colosseum area. And they said to her, the other people, you need to denounce the Lord or we're going to kill you. People denounced the Lord, the other Christians. They ran into the stands. Others ran out into the streets. The 17-year-old girl, Blandina, she stood by herself in the middle of the Colosseum. For 4 days, they tortured her. They did everything you could imagine to her. And she wouldn't denounce the Lord. The guard said, there's nothing else we could do. Anybody else, if we just did one thing to them, they denounce the Lord, she won't denounce the Lord. And it spread everywhere. But this courage of this young girl. And it says on the fifth day, she was still alive. People that had left the Lord, that were in the stands, watching, they started coming back one at a time. People that had left the Colosseum and ran out into the streets, they started coming indoors again. And finally it said, hundreds of Christians came and sat with her. Not much left of her anymore. They sat with her and they all were killed. They all died. We would say martyrs for the Lord. And how did they do it? Because a teenage girl said, I won't denounce the Lord. And that's for all of you today. You guys just stand up. You'll make your mothers and daddies probably better Christians. You'll make your friends better Christians. You'll make a visitor who comes in and say, if that young person can do it, I can do it. And some of you today, you're not Christians. I know there's nobody in this room that doesn't want to go to heaven. I know you want to go to heaven. But you can't go to heaven if you're not in the Lord's family. That's a biblical promise. The Lord, you got to be in His family. Now, I don't know why you're waiting. I don't see any big expectant mothers when we get ready to sing the songs. You can get down the aisle. It's a shorter aisle. Sometimes it's because you think you're going to live forever. The first funeral I ever did was a little girl, a teenage girl. She lost her baby at one day old. She carried it to the gravesite in a shoebox. That's the first funeral I ever did as a preacher. And I tell you what that told me. You can die at any age. Both my mommy and daddy had died. Some of my friends have died. One of the saddest funerals I ever did was a boy by the name of Kyle Taylor, Belle Green, Alabama. After graduation, he died in a car accident. But I'll tell you what happened at his funeral. When we got to the gravesite, I was speaking at the gravesite. He's in a small class of about 25 or 26 people. And then when they opened up the hearse to carry the casket to the gravesite, both his high school class, 12 on each side, they formed a line, and they carried him through. And when they closed the casket, had his high school class picture with all the kids on him. We took him to the cemetery. That was Sunday afternoon. Sunday night when I preached, the first two rows were filled with 24 kids. And some of those kids became a Christian eventually. And you know what it took? It took Kyle to die. But the good thing about Kyle is he died in the Lord. I don't tell you that to scare you. I tell you that to tell you that's the truth. That's the truth. I want you to go to heaven. And if you weren't spiritually minded, you wouldn't be here. You might come from one lesson, but you're not going to stay for three. The food's not that good later on. You're here because you want to do right. And some of you are waiting. I don't want you to wait. I don't want you to wait. And if you wait and die, what am I supposed to say at your funeral? That was one of the nicest young persons. They dressed modestly. They didn't drink. They didn't take drugs. They were nice. They were so friendly. But you know what? They never were baptized for the remission. Please, don't ask me to do your funeral. What am I supposed to say? What are you supposed to say? It's a sad thing. It need not be like that. Don't live a life and be as you are today. You're godly young men and women and you want to do right. Now, don't become a Christian if you're not ready. But if you're ready, get baptized for the remission of your sins. And then, you know what? Is it going to be hard? Yes, it's hard. But you do like David did. Have some people on your side that encourage you. You can do it, David. Go get the Goliath. Don't listen to other people say you can't. There'll be good men, good women, elders. Everybody will encourage you. You can bring people to the Lord. And one day they'll say, man, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have made it. And some of you may think, but you've come from a bad background or you come from something. Can the Lord really change your life? Let me tell you about this guy one time. This guy started going to church. He had long hair. He wore his hair in a bandana. And he wore overalls, painter's overalls to church all the time with beads on and flip-flops. And as time went on, he studied. He decided he might become a Christian. So he became a Christian. And they asked him one day to wait on the table. But he said, I can't. I don't have a jacket. So somebody gave him a jacket. But he still wore his flip-flops. He still had long hair. Looking clean. It was pulled back. And the bandana. And had his beads on. And as time went on, he graduated a little bit. He got a whole suit. He even got some new shoes. No more flip-flops. Got his hair cut a little short. And do you know where he is this morning? He's talking to you right now. That was me. How did you get to where you are now? like David did. I found out what was right. You're supposed to serve God. I had good friends that said, Paul, you can do it. But the most important thing I had was God help me. The power of God helps you. The gospel's the power. As you read, you can do it. So today, if you're not a Christian, I hope you'll become one by being baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you are a child of God and you've heard the lessons, take courage. Take courage. But what it takes, you have to stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. You must not suffer loss. From victory on to victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished. And Christ is Lord indeed. Is Christ Lord indeed for you? We're going to be singing number 397. Takes courage. If you don't have courage, don't become a Christian. Don't become a Christian. But if you've got courage, don't let the devil hold you down. Don't let people say you can't. You get your life right before it's too late. And if we can help anybody to become a Christian, get their life right in any way, we'd love to do it. Stand right now while we sing.